Ruth chapter number 2. I'd like to begin reading with verse number 14 and conclude the reading at verse 23. Ruth chapter number 2, verses 14 through 23. Reading in the English Standard Version, and it reads as follows. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it to her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she also brought out and gave her what food she had left over, and after having been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all of my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It's good, my daughter, that you go out with this young woman, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sermon number 5 in the series from the book of Ruth. I'd like to begin by saying that one of the things that I have not said to you, no particular reason why I haven't, but in the book of Ruth, the name of Yahweh has not been mentioned. The name of Israel's God, Yahweh, is not mentioned in the book of Ruth. However, as we have been and will continue to examine the contents of this book, not only these past weeks, but all of my Christian life, the Christian community has discovered both the handprint and the footprint of the Holy Ghost all over this quaint book of Ruth, all because of the eternal truths that it contains. Sometimes some things are just so obvious that it's a surprise that a person doesn't understand it. Ruth asking Naomi if she could glean in the harvest fields for food in chapter 2, since they both have just returned from the land of Moab and had no gainful employment or source of food. She says something about the industrious nature of Ruth. And to go and glean in the fields for food was a very common way, maybe the most common way that the poor or the less fortunate were able to eat. Once there in Judah, Ruth was gleaning, which, at least in my observation, is a position of humility. There are some of us who find it hard to ask for help. And maybe it's because of shame or pride, shame for the circumstances that we find ourselves in temporarily, or pride that we don't want anyone to know. It is an occupation of humility. She was industrious enough to want to go into the fields and earn the food that she and eventually she would share with her mother-in-law Naomi would eat. She's gleaning in the field, and it happened to glean in the portion of the land that belonged to Naomi's wealthy relative. I smile every time I read that text, because as good Presbyterians, we don't believe in happenstance. We believe in the providence and sovereignty of God. She happened to find herself gleaning in a field owned by a wealthy man who also happened to be a relative of her mother-in-law, Naomi. One of the things that we'll see in this text is how that Boaz, in his position as owner of the field and being wealthy and successful in his business, and having to his access more than Ruth or Naomi would ever need, reminds us of the great vast resources of God Almighty. That the Lord has more than enough for all of us. And that God will indeed provide our every need. No accidents in God's economy, number one. And number two, Boaz being a man of wealth is a reminder to us of the unlimited resources of God our Father to take care of us by providing our every need. I don't know if you need to be reminded of this or not. I certainly do need to be reminded of it on a regular basis, that I don't have to worry. If I do, it's not because I have to, because God is my Father as he is yours. The story and this character of Boaz reminds me, and hopefully you, of the great resources that God has to take care of us. It's a woman who's a foreigner, estranged, even from her own homeland of Moab, not even a citizen of Judah. Because by faith she traveled to this land of Judah, believing that if she accepted Judah's God, that God would accept her. Friends, I should tell you that we're all from Moab. And all in Judah, by the invitation of God's servants, ministers and missionaries of the gospel, and we're here in the land of plenty. And whatever we need, God is more than capable and willing to provide it. Not only did Ruth have enough, but when she finished eating, she sat down, verse 14 said. And that caught my attention also, because here is rest. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Here is first refreshment that we receive from the Word and Spirit of God. And now there is rest. She sat down. The text further says she ate until she was full. Sometimes when you're thinking about the goodness of God, whether you're reading God's word or praying or meditating or listening to a song that inspires us to be engulfed in the good news of the gospel, you just want to stand up and walk around a bit. Full of the goodness and graciousness of God, when we think of what God has done for us, and for some of us, God has brought us a long ways. We stop and think about how good God has been, that God has not withheld anything from us, but has given us all things in Christ. We don't have to work for our salvation, but like Ruth, we can now sit down. Enjoy the goodness of God's provisions. Satisfaction that union with Christ brings to the believer. I can never be more satisfied with Christ than I am today. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger. John 6:35. In our text, verses 15 through 17 of this 17th chapter goes like this. And I'm going to read as I go along in the NET Bible, the NET translation. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I think it's helpful. We read as a congregation from the ESV rather. Now I'm going to read these following verses in the NET. When she got up to gather grain, Boaz told his male servants to let her gather grain even among the bundles. Don't chase her off. Make sure you pull out ears of grain for her and drop them so she can gather them up. And don't tell her not to. So she gathered grain in the field until evening. And when she threshed what she had gathered, it came to about 30 pounds of barley. Verse 15 says, she got up to gather grain. Suitable for someone either employed or someone in need of food and given the opportunity to glean, if not among the reapers. She was already shown immense hospitality, and although not officially as of yet, Ruth is considered a member of the family, a fellow member or a fellow worker in the fields of harvest. I'm tempted to ask if we are all given a home, as we are all given a home in the community of faith and are enjoying the refreshment of the Holy Spirit and the rest that Christ so freely gives to us, how are you being employed in the body of Christ? What are you doing to be productive for the cause of Christ in this world? Let me just say that as pastor, I don't know of one church I've ever been in or a part of or was acquainted with that has too many volunteers, too many people who wish to work for Christ. I've not experienced that yet. Perhaps I will. How are you employed in the body of Christ? How are you lending your gifts, your talents, your intellect in the work of Christ? Verses 18 through 19, and I'm still reading from the NET Bible, says she carried it back to town and her mother-in-law saw how much grain she had gathered. Then Ruth gave her the roasted grain she had saved from mealtime. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you gather grain today? Where did you work? May the one who took notice of you be rewarded." So Ruth told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked. And then Naomi said, "The name of the man with whom," or Ruth said rather, "the name of the man whom I worked today is Boaz." Ruth has generously received so much. She brought so much grain home that her mother-in-law is asking her, "Where did you work today? How did you get this much? It's more than what people usually get who are gleaners." She was gleaning, but it was as if she was a reaper. She wasn't getting parcel here and a parcel there that had been left for her to be sustained, but she'd been given a bundle of grain. Ruth generously received, and now she apparently anxiously and purposefully and generously gives away or shares with Naomi the blessings of God. Excuse me. El Shaddai, God all sufficient. She has more than she needed. There's nothing else she can do with it but take it home and share with Naomi what God has provided. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be rewarded by the Lord because he has shown loyalty to the living on behalf of the dead." Boaz is the brother of Naomi's dead husband, Elimelech. Then Naomi said to Ruth, "This man is a close relative of ours. He is one of our guardians." Here's the revelation of the Goel, as the Hebrew would call it, kinsman or redeemer. Since Ruth had never met Boaz before, he was a complete stranger to her. But Boaz knew of her because she knew of him. Or I should say, Boaz knew of her before she knew of him. Boaz had been working behind the scenes of Ruth's life and had orchestrated the multitude of kindness that had been shown to her. Protect her. Keep her in only this field. Work only with the young women. Told his young men, protect her. And now he's given her the privilege, the right, seemingly, of a gleaner, even though she's of a reaper, even though she's technically only a gleaner. Boaz knew of Ruth before Ruth knew of Boaz. And he had been working behind the scenes to orchestrate the multitude of kindnesses. That had been shown to Ruth. Now, can you think for a moment or two? If in 30 seconds you could construct how you arrived here. Can you reconstruct how God brought you from there to here? Who are the influencers in your life? What things have transpired in your life that caused you to have a consciousness of God? Stirred your curiosity and pulled you closer to God? Who was pulling the strings of your life that even turned tragedy into triumph? When you can sit back now in your quiet time and you can say, now I know why that happened. If I had not been here, I wouldn't have gotten here. If I had not gotten here, I wouldn't have gotten there. If I had not gotten there, I would not have gotten here. Who were the people that opened their hearts to you? Who are the ones who have shown you the kindness of Christ? Became the literal hands and feet of Christ. Shown you what we couldn't read. That God is love. My friends, God has been working behind the scenes in your life. Before you or I were ever conceived in our mother's womb. And let me say that if you are a child of God, you can't run fast enough to get away from the sovereignty of God. When you run with all of your might, when you get there, the Lord will already be standing there. What are you doing here, son? God is at work in your life. At this very moment. I would imagine as Ruth's trying to put these things together and connect the dots in her head and realize that this man is the one who has the power to quote unquote save her. He's connected to my mother-in-law, with whom I have a good relationship, of whose son I married. And how was it that God gave me the wisdom, or God drew me to not go back to Moab, not serve this idol god of Moab, but God led me. He drew me with an undeniable urge to stay with Naomi and go to a land that right now is not your home, but will become your home. There's a few things I want you to see here without boring you, and hopefully you don't find it boring. But Boaz being, in this case, he's not consistently a picture or a reminder of Christ, but in this instance, by being a relative of Naomi, and by being a relative of Naomi, a distant but a relative of Ruth's. It reminds us of the wisdom of God that in Christ, who was not born by the will of man, but by the will of God, in his humanity became a relative of every one of us. And only in his humanity, yet perfect, sinless humanity, was Jesus Christ and is Jesus Christ able to save to the uttermost everyone who puts their trust in him. Boaz, Savior of Ruth, a Moabite, not included in the family of God, a worshiper of another God, but now has been welcomed into that blessed land and among the people of God. And she's been given all the food she needs. As I heard the duet being done by Michael and Lori and with Randy's help on the piano, in a line that they sung about having food and drink. That was one of those moments where you want to walk around a little bit, you know? Because I had an idea what I was going to say this morning. But I would like to remind you that Jesus Christ provides us all we need. Do you see the kindness of God towards Ruth before she was even officially a part of the family of God? Now, there's a passage I love to preach in the Old Testament about the cities of refuge. And that's in the event, in case you don't remember me preaching this, in the event where a person commits a murder, although it's unintentional, but nevertheless takes an innocent life, before judgment is passed on them, they can run to one of these cities and they're safe until they face a just judge. Now, have you thought about lately, while we were running around in our rebellion, not living for Christ, not thinking about Christ, looking to do whatever we wanted to do, whatever that is, that God loved you so and loved me so that he protected us even while we were in our wildest, rebellious state? God could have cut us off. But God preserved you and me, like Boaz preserved Ruth, until she officially became bought or redeemed by Boaz. If that's not something to be thankful for, that Lord, you protected me even when I didn't even think of you, when I didn't even consider you in my thoughts, in my aspirations, when my actions and behavior was despicable and the most unlike God or Christ I could imagine, yet you loved me enough. You had already placed your hand upon my life. And it pledged, unbeknownst to me, that you would not allow anyone to harm me. That's something to be thankful for. I'm just imagining what went through the thoughts of Ruth as she sat back and kicked off her shoes after a long day's work and told Naomi about what happened to her that day, how she had been blessed and protected and put in a choice role, and where the men were intentionally dropping extra grain from the bundles that they had already gathered so that she would have more than enough. I want to tell you, if you're struggling through life and feeling as if you can hardly make it, my friends, you need to get to Jesus as fast as you can, because in him there is more than enough. And I would imagine that she sat back and began thinking further, and especially when Naomi told her who Boaz was, her head must have been spinning of the goodness, the good sovereignty of God that placed me where I am. And then a bit of sadness must have come upon her if she thought about her sister, who didn't have the same convictions that she had, who went back to serve her idol god, who did not understand the riches and the richness of following and serving and worshiping Judah's god, Yahweh. I would imagine she must have thought, it's good that I'm here, and it would be even better if my sister had come also. My friends, if it's not you, then who do you know that needs to know about the loving kindness of Christ? He's a keeper. He won't let you go. He's a provider, an all-sufficient provider. He won't see you go without. God has systematically and strategically put people in every one of our lives that's led us to where we are. You're not smart enough, and I'm definitely not smart enough to have seen years ago that I would end up where I am. Who understands the ways of God? They're further above our ways than the heavens are above the earth. But I want you to see in this text of the great provision of God. And not only the provision of God, once Ruth has made that transition to Judah from Moab, but before she even became an official member of the family of Israel, God was watching over her. There is no prejudice in God. Moab or Israelite, Assyrian or Israelite. There's no discrimination in God. Let's pray.